diabetes education, gaps in stroke care, yoga and post-stroke balance, and we're going to take a look at nursing documentation. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to welcome all of you to the program this week. A lot of you may be watching the show in a set-top box, a Roku box, or one of the Apple TV devices and watching the show that way. You might also be watching us online at nursingshow.tv or catching the audio version. However you catch The Nursing Show, it's great to speak with each and every one of you and talk about nursing issues and what's been going on this week in the news. Do want to remind you to follow up on the information that is covered in the show. I can cover news items, give a little bit of commentary, talk about things in the tip of the week. It's your job to follow up on the links I provide. Check out the news stories, check out the additional resources provided, and make your own decisions based upon your own scope of practice, skills, and educational environment. All of that's what you need to do. I can give you overviews and things here, but you need to take care of the rest. If you have any comments or questions, suggestions you'd like to share with me, I'd love to hear from you. You can, of course, anytime leave comments over on the Nursing Show site. There's a comments link on every single article over there, so you can leave a link over on any of the show notes, any of the additional articles that are posted throughout the course of the week, or you can send an email in if you'd like. Send those emails in to nursingshow@gmail.com, or you can get in touch with me through Twitter or Facebook. I live there under the handle PodMedic, PodMedic, and you can find me there under the locations twitter.com/podmedic or facebook.com/podmedic. Let's go ahead and move on here as we jump into our news segments for the week here in just a sec. This week's news items kicks off with a segment on diabetes education, and I just bring it up because we look always at different ways that nurses represent positive healthcare influences in the community. In this particular article from Upstate New York, Bassett Healthcare Network announced recently that they're going to bring out a series of diabetes education programs for around the area that they serve. And these will be, of course, served by, guess who? Nurse educators, because these nurse diabetes educators are so good at what they do. Thank you very much, nurses. You all make us proud. And it's exciting to see nurses branching out in different things. And of course, diabetes education and nursing has been around for a long time. But it's important to just point out the many different ways that nurses can have an impact that doesn't necessarily mean you're always at the bedside. I think that that's a misunderstanding by a lot of our public, and even a lot of nurses maybe are not comfortable thinking that they could do something outside of the clinical environment all the time, and or maybe they just want to have that direct patient contact. I will tell you that, you know, from a standpoint of educating people face to face, that is good. Another way of doing direct patient contact. If you check in with the interview we did last year with Ann Robinson on public health nursing, you know, she shifted her focus to taking care of several hundred thousand people, and it means that she has a lot more patients and a lot more opportunities to have a positive impact. So it's all on how you look at it. And so I just wanted to point this out. It's a great article on diabetes in this particular area. New York State, they talk about 19 million people in the state of New York. 1.3 million of them have diabetes. That's 5% of the population. And that's a huge number when you think about all those people that have a chronic illness that may or may not be doing a good job of managing it. So it's always important to have resources that can provide healthcare education. And if we can help somebody manage their diabetes effectively and look for ways to treat themselves, to be in better health, they cost the healthcare system a whole lot less money and a whole lot more earned money in the way of income, non-missed work days, things like that. It really adds up to a huge plus for the community. And I hope that we'll continue to see this type of article talking about nurses and providing this kind of direct education. Next up is an article on stroke patients, and we've covered strokes here recently, talking about stroke care and stroke centers and what you can do to learn more about how to be a part of a stroke center or a stroke program in your area. But there are some things that are being done well, and there are some things that still need improvement. According to this particular article, stroke patients are getting their clot busters, but there are still some serious barriers to improving the treatment across the board. Of course, when people get this treatment with clot busters, it's one of those things that we've kind of refocused. Just like we refocused our attention on cardiac patients, stroke patients needed that refocused alert status that we could say, hey, stroke patient coming in, we need to get the ball rolling quickly. Because we needed to get these thrombolytics on board, these clot busters on board very quickly so that we could try to get the stroke under control. And if we were able to get clot busters on board a patient in less than 3 hours after the onset of their symptoms, we could improve patient care and recovery. And since stroke is the number one cause of disability in the U.S., it's one of those things that if we can cause a patient to have a near full recovery following a stroke, we stave off a whole host of additional costs and things that can happen, not to mention the patient benefits, of course. So I'd urge you to check out this article. Look at what you're doing in your region. Part of the stroke center and stroke cycle of care is similar to what we see in cardiac arrest. There is a public component. We need to educate our public about how to recognize stroke, what to do when someone has a suspected stroke. We need to educate our emergency services systems to understand where to take people that have strokes. So some local facilities may not have a stroke center designation or have the ability to quickly get those clot busters on board. So if you have one hospital that's a little bit farther away but has a stroke center designation, they are going to be able to do a lot better job of taking care of that patient. So we need to educate the people in the middle, the EMS providers, and then we need to talk to our hospital staff to educate them to make sure that they know what the stroke team does, to maybe find out if they can want to be on the stroke team. These are all parts of the process, and we need to continue to improve the speed at which we get these patients to the final destination, which is getting the drug on board if they need it. So it's something to keep track of. And good article. And just, I think it points out that there's always room for improvement. Yeah, we've done better, but it's still not as good as it could be by a long shot. And that's good. That means we can improve. That means that, again, just like nurses do all the time, probably there's lots of opportunities for small incremental changes that can have a huge impact on the bottom line, the bottom numbers. And I think that that's the case here as well. If you're part of a stroke program in your area and you'd like to share some ideas or thoughts about what's going on in your region, I'd love to hear from you and just kind of follow up. It's summertime's rolling around, and just to kind of take the load off of me a little bit and putting shows together, I always look for opportunities to interview nurses and bring them on the show and have the interview stand on its own. So it's not as much prep work on my end. And so if you'd like to share some of your thoughts about stroke care, perhaps you're involved in a stroke initiative in your community, I'd love to hear from you. Put me in touch with someone or call me yourself, and we'll go ahead and get that squared away. There's also another stroke article here, and this is about recovery from stroke. Okay, again, not just we get those clot busters on board, but patients that do have some level of disability, what can you do to improve the return of their balance and coordination? Well, according to one particular study, stroke survivors who participated in a stroke-focused yoga program actually saw improvements of up to 34% in their balance. Now, I'm not sure how exactly they were measuring this. I'll have to look at the study. But it points out that there are a lot of things we can do outside of the traditional ways we have treated and rehabilitated patients, that, you know, just because they're done the approved course of physical therapy doesn't mean that they're done improving their health. So having access and understanding of resources like this, do you have a place in your community that teaches yoga? Perhaps they would collaborate with you or some other nurses in your community to focus and create this kind of stroke-centered yoga class that will help these stroke survivors regain more of their balance, more of their coordination. that's something exciting. And that's what nursing's all about, really, is those you know, really just getting down to the nitty-gritty and finding the ways and resources to help our patients. So I love this article. I just think it points out a lot of the different ways that we can help our patients. And I would urge you to continue to follow up on the information and the links in the show notes for this and the other articles. And if you have any questions or comments and would like to share them back, please don't hesitate to do so. Again, leave a comment on the website, or you can reach me by email at nursingshow@gmail.com. Time now for this week's tip of the week. And this week's tip, we're going to talk about nursing documentation. If you've been a nurse for a while, you've been documenting patient care for a long time, nursing notes, and maybe you've gone through many different systems. There are now a lot of places moving into electronic recording of notes, and some places have electronic recording for some parts of the chart, but the nurses or others are still writing, handwriting notes and entries into the chart. So there's a lot of different ways that you can look at how you're charting. And I always say there's always room for improvement, whether you've been doing this for 30 years or still in nursing school. There's things you can look at and think about when you're thinking about how to improve the ways you do things. And that includes charting. So maybe you're not used to a new system of charting. So we're going to talk about some of the different systems that are out there, the different ways that nurses might be handling their charts, from DARs to SOAP notes to whatever. And we're going to go ahead and talk about them in this week's tip segment here on The Nursing Show.
Hi, this is Jamie Davis, and we're here with another segment here on our tip of the week, and we're going to kick off this week's tip talking about nursing documentation. Yeah, I know, charting. It's a bear. It takes us away from patient care. It keeps us from doing the things we really want to do as a nurse, and yet these things are so important in continuum of care for our patients and in protecting our careers and our abilities to provide safe care, because we have to document what we do. Let's talk a little bit about what important parts there are in the nursing notes narrative. There's some things that you need to do and some things that are suggested to do. And there's several different methods that can be used. A lot of places are shifting from electronic or from written patient care reports and records and charting to electronic charting. And what does this mean for you? How do you adapt to electronic charting? There's some misconceptions about electronic charting that need to be addressed. We'll also talk about some of the various narrative styles, and that includes ADP, SOAP notes, and the DAR note style. We'll talk about all those things in this tip. Now, I want to point out that there's a lot of things in here for new nurses, and I think also something to take away from this for existing nurses. I'm a constant believer that there's always something you can do to improve what you do in whatever you do. And that includes nursing, and that includes writing in charts. And so there's some little tricks that you might be able to pick up here. And I also want those experienced nurses that are catching the show to send me your comments and thoughts about what I have to say. I'm not the be-all, end-all of charting. And you may have a tip that you'd like to share with the rest of the listeners and viewers here at The Nursing Show, so make sure you pitch in. Let's talk a little bit about electronic versus written patient care reporting. A lot of people are transitioning to electronic charting right now, and there's a misconception about electronic charting that, hey, I'm not going to have to write narrative notes anymore, right? Because I've got this electronic chart. I've got all these check boxes and bubbles that I can check, and these things that'll just automatically fill in values from equipment that might be monitoring my patient. I don't need to enter notes anymore. False. Okay? The data collection is a great boon to electronic care reporting, but the real bonus to electronic patient care reports is the transportability of those reports, no longer needing to transport a tree around the hospital when you've got a patient with extensive notes that needs to be reviewed in a new location. And it's just easy to transfer those files. It's also easier to collect data that can be crunched and examined in a number of different ways. And so that's the benefit of all those little checkboxes and bubbles and automatic collection methods. But there's nothing that takes the place of what you do as a nurse and interactions with the patient. So while electronic is great at capturing that data, A written report, an actual narrative, is important and really great at capturing interactions with your patients, capturing responses to patients' medications or a treatment or a nursing intervention. And so it's important that we still develop our skills to write good, high-quality narratives. They may not need to be as long and as detailed because we don't have to include specifics like vital signs and things like that if our patient care electronic report is capturing that information. But we need to paint the picture. We always need to understand that we need to paint the picture with our narratives so that 5 years down the road, when this patient's report is being reviewed for some reason, you give the next care professional an insight into that patient, an insight into what worked, what didn't work, some things that might have been going on. This is where you paint in that holistic patient picture. You need both of these things, and electronic patient care reporting helps you capture that data in an easier fashion. It should give you more time to write better notes and still have more time for patient care. So that's going to be the goal, I think, for a lot of electronic patient care reporting. But remember, this is being done at the administrative level to better handle paperwork. It's not necessarily being done to improve your patient care at the bedside. So you need to make sure that you're having that voice in the process when your system shifts over. Let's talk a little bit about narrative style. The narrative style is just a basic format. It can apply to a little bit to every different style, but some people just like to write narrative style notes, and that basically is a chronological note of patient interaction. It's a paragraph format. It's suitable for medium and longer notes. So if you are going to be spending an extended time with a patient, you may want to write a longer, more narrative style note to give a better flavor of an interview, for instance. It might be a better way for you to document, for instance, an interview with a psych patient where you're actually doing a lot more talking and interacting with the patient, less collection of raw data and more collection of some of that subjective data that you're collecting from the patient. A template will improve your style. Now, what do I mean by a template? Well, this is something I actually learned back in my days in the ambulance sector when I was a paramedic and riding in that situation. I had to write patient care reports, and I had a patient from initial assessment all the way through all of any treatments I provided and over maybe up to a half hour, 45-minute transport to the hospital. It was a long time to spend with the patient, and so often my narratives were more of a narrative style, full chronological approach, and I developed a template. Now, what I did was I basically took a patient care report that I had written for an extended transport with a lot of situations and things going on with that patient, and I kind of just removed all of the pertinent data for that particular patient, but I left in the framework into which I could fill information on the next transport. So when I go to that patient's home and I say I arrived at the house and the patient was lying on the floor in the carport next to the car, patient had complained that they had fallen there. Patient was a 68-year-old male. I mean, I could fill in all that information, but it gives me a template to follow that through. You can do that with your narratives as well, just setting up a chronological template of where you might typically interact with a patient for instance, a triage assessment in an ER. So something to remember that you can use a basic template to improve your style. Practice makes perfect. The best way to get better at writing any kind of narrative, any of the styles we talk here about here in this segment, is to practice them. And if you're a student, you can practice on a fake patient. Open up your textbook and find one of those sections of all your chapters that have a patient presentation where they actually talk about a patient that a simulated or fictitional patient that they're using for that particular chapter. Write up a note about that patient, about an interaction with that patient. Practice makes perfect. You'll actually find the more you write, if you write 10 or so notes, you'll find that the 10th note comes a lot easier than the first one. It moves a lot faster. You get done quicker. And so over time, you'll become much more accomplished at writing those notes. And for those students that are checking out the show, that's the reason your instructors make you write a lot of notes. It's because it's a skill you really need to develop, and practice helps that. Let's talk about some other templates or systems or styles you might use to develop a narrative. ADP, I've talked about this on the show before, talking about patient care planning. This represents assess, diagnose, plan, implement, and then evaluate. And this is basically a systemic approach to nursing care, if you want to point at it that way. But it's also a great way to document what you did through the course of that nursing care. Suitable for short to medium-sized notes, and it is a useful template for your narrative style, and it usually is going to document a single intervention or event. ADP is not going to be as effective in documenting an overall patient care plan because you're really talking about a specific diagnosis, specific implementation of a series of interventions to address that specific diagnosis and evaluating the effectiveness of that intervention or interventions. So usually this is going to be most suitable for a single event. For instance, you go in, a patient complains of pain. Okay, you have a patient complaining of pain. You go in, you assess that pain. The patient says they have a pain in their abdomen. It's a sharp pain, and it's around the incision site, and it is at a level of 8. Okay, you now have assessed this patient. You might want to document that you looked at the wound or looked at the dressing. There was no signs of drainage or warmth or inflammation, so we're not expecting that there's any change in infection process, but the post-surgical pain. We want to go ahead and diagnose that this patient is experiencing a discomfort associated with post-surgical pain. Right? So we're going to go ahead and plan that we go to the chart and the patient has pain medication already ordered. We go ahead and administer their pain medication and implement that process. And then we are going to come back, depending on what you use, whether you use an oral medication or an injectable medication, an appropriate time frame later, 15 minutes, half an hour, and you're going to evaluate. And all of that goes into the documentation. And you write that out as an ADP note. You want to use this to a great way to outline care plan items. So if you're a person who puts together care plans, if you're a student that has to assemble care plans, this is a good opportunity, a good way to look at the individual parts of your care plan, the key parts of the patient process that you're looking at, and apply these factors. It's a great way to write out narrative items associated with your care plan. SOAP notes, also known as SOAPy notes, and you'll see it's S-O-A-P or S-O-A-P-I-E. And SOAP notes are something that you might have seen. They're used throughout the healthcare setting in a variety of places. And SOAP stands for Subjective, Objective, Assessment, and Plan. And you can also add I-E, which means Implement and Evaluate, but often that is just included in the treatment plan. So we're going to go ahead and I leave it off because I just added into the end at the P. But you can also, if you need help remembering to do those steps, make it a SOAPy note. Typically what you do is you write those letters down the side of the page, leaving space for a few lines for each letter. And you're going to go ahead and you're going to hit each letter. So subjective, it's the patient's story. It's their chief complaint. It's their history. What's going on? Why are they calling you in? And this can be used for long or short notes. It's something that you can implement and bring in the patient's complaints, the patient's reports of what the problem is. Objective are your observations and data that you may have captured in association with talking with that patient and observing that patient. Assessment. You're going to assess the patient, gather your subjective and objective information, assess the patient, make a diagnosis specific to their chief complaint, and then you're going to implement a treatment plan, which includes treatments, goals, teaching, patient education, family education, whatever the case may be, depending on what problem you are addressing. And this, of course, can be applied to anything, to any aspect of the patient, from their social aspect, their psychosocial aspect, their sexual, their spiritual, their physical, whatever the case may be, you can bring all those pieces together. The DAR note, this is actually the one I've used the most. DAR stands for Data, Action, and Response. And it's kind of, you can start to see the similarities to what you could probably see with the SOAP note or the ADP note. They all really organize the same information, just slightly differently. And so data, action, and response. Data combines that subjective, objective form of the SOAP note, and you want to put your data in there. So it's suitable for short notes, data, when what the patient wants, what the patient needs, what you've observed about the patient. Action, what you did. This is where you put in your nursing intervention. You know, the pain. The patient complained of pain at a level of 8, subject to post-surgical pain, applied medication to the patient per the chart, and you just go through the process there, whatever you did. And then response. The reevaluation is always important. It's part of the nursing process, right? So we need to evaluate the response to our treatments. Did it work? What's the patient's pain level? Now, if you have instituted something like a pain level in the data part of this, you need to make sure you have checked that same scale again at the end. Pain level was 8 at the beginning. After a half an hour, when you check back in with them, their pain level is now a 3 and manageable with positioning. Right? So you've implemented that and you've reevaluated and you maybe have instituted some other further interventions as a result of your reevaluations. Short notes, really great for those brief interventions during the course of a patient care day. And I think this is why it's suitable to people working in a mid-surge environment or other places where you're just going to briefly intervene for the patient, on periodic interventions, administering medications, responding to the call bell, whatever. And so these are types of notes you might see with DAR notes. There's a lot of good references out there, and I just want to point out, and first off, allnurses.com, thanks to them. They're a great sponsor and supporter of The Nursing Show and the other great nursing podcasts over at the ProMed Network. If you haven't checked out allnurses.com, yeah, they're a sponsor, but, you know, I was supporting allnurses.com way before they were a sponsor of ours, and I think that if you are looking for specific information about any aspect of nursing, including documentation, there are a ton of good entries and questions and answers in the forums over at allnurses.com on nursing notes, nursing progress notes, and documentation. So make sure you're checking on that and following up on that there. You can also find a great book I've used and I know is available over at places like Amazon called Charting Made Incredibly Easy. It's a pocket charting guide, so if you're a student, you can slip this in your pocket for help putting your charts together. If you're a person that writes a lot of charts and you just are looking for a different wording for things, even if you've been doing this for 20 years, I can tell you this is one of those guides where you can just flip it open and find a better way to say something when you run into something that maybe you're just not sure how to word it. So this is a great resource for nurses, both new and experienced. So I hope you will take a look at that. There's going to be a link in the show notes to that to check it out at Amazon, but you can pick it up in a lot of different book resources online. So check it out there. Also, I found a great slide share. It's basically a PowerPoint presentation that's shared on the internet over at slideshare.net, and it is Charting for Nurses, and it's available on slideshare.net. So there's a link in the show notes for that as well. I urge you to check out these resources and work on today, just improving a little bit at a time your charting skills in whatever level you are in nursing. There's always ways to find to improve. And remember, charting doesn't just help the patient, but charting helps you. If there's ever a question about what was done for a patient, you being good at charting effectively, efficiently, and accurately is going to be one of those things that you'll be able to bring back if you ever get called into court to support your decision-making process. If you've written a good narrative note to set that tone, to paint that picture, you have something there to back up your decision-making 5-10 years down the road. So keep that in mind. There's a lot of more available over at the Nursing Show site. And of course, you can find great resources for students over at nursingtopstudent.com. I'm Jamie Davis. We'll be back again with another tip real soon, and we'll check in with you then. And that's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to remind all of you to follow up on the information over at nursingshow.com. There's a show notes link right at the top of the page. Click that link and you'll find the most recent episode listed first. And you can scroll down and find all of the episodes listed there. So if you need to find a particular episode from the past, you can do so.
You can also, of course, use the search bar and find whatever you're looking for there as well. But you should be following up on the information. The links in the news articles, the additional resource links from the tip of the week, all are things you need to look for over there. And you'll find all of that at nursingshow.com. If you'd like to reach me directly and you want to send me an email, you can do so. Send those emails in to nursingshow@gmail.com. Of course, don't forget you can leave comments right over on the Nursing Show site. And it's sometimes nice to do that. Somebody reading the article may see that they're, hey, look, three people left comments. I should check out their comments and thoughts as well. I don't claim to know each and every thing about each and every topic. I have opinions and I try to do some research and understand what's the basis of, at least the basics of what I'm talking about. But if I make a mistake, somebody's going to correct me and somebody might have a different viewpoint. So you can find those viewpoints and share your own on the comments links over at the Nursing Show website. If you'd like to catch up with me on Facebook or Twitter, you can find me there, facebook.com/podmedic, twitter.com/podmedic. And again, thanks again for getting the Nursing Show fan page up over 1,000 fans. We're actually fast approaching 1,100 fans. So keep pushing out there, telling everybody about the Nursing Show. When you head over there and check out the fan page and you see a link, share that link back to your page. You just click that share link and make a couple of comments and hit the button. And you can share with your friends and colleagues what I've been talking about on the show or a link I might have shared from another website or news item. And that's a good way to share and support the Nursing Show. So I hope you'll continue to do that. If you want to find the page yourself, you can go directly to facebook.com/nursingshow. And it'll take you right there and you can see all of the things I've been posting. I've been trying to post more regularly, like 5, maybe 6 times a week at least, to leave some of the articles that are either showing up on the Nursing Show site or articles I've found in other places, just to let you know what's going on. So you'll find those all linked over there on the Nursing Show website. That's it for me. I'm going to go ahead and check back in here and find out what our song is for the week. The song this week is Sugar Mama, which I think is interesting because our new segment on diabetes education. This is by Roscoe Chenye, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but you can find a link to his songs in the show notes. And if you like what you hear, check him out and let him know you heard it here on The Nursing Show. That's it. I'm Jamie Davis. I'll be back again soon with another episode of The Nursing Show. Try to get these out every single week for you. So in the meantime, share The Nursing Show with somebody you know. Let them know that there's a program just for nurses out there. And I want to thank you for checking out the show. Stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.
Sugar mama, where you getting your sugar from? Sugar mama, where you getting your sugar from? You must have got it from your daddy down on the sugar farm. Well, you're shaking like jelly, hitting tight like jam. Oh, you're shaking like jelly, hitting tight like jam. Just a little bit more, baby, and I'm a thank you, ma'am. Sugar mama, what you trying to do to me? Sugar mama, what you trying to do to me? I ain't got enough sugar, just to sweeten my tea. Baby, just sweeten my tea.